Hey guys, welcome. Let's see who we have here so far. Liz, Hannah. I was starting to worry. It was the top of the hour, and I was here by myself thinking about Valentine's Day, wondering, oh boy, did I send the wrong link this morning, which has happened. Hey, just for fun, while we're waiting on others to join, hey, just curious, Valentine's Day, thumbs up, thumbs down? Let me know in the chat area how you feel about it. Hannah's laughing. Hey, Ruthie, welcome. Everyone's got an opinion on this, you know? Like, there's just people get really into this, and some people really don't like this holiday. Just curious where you guys stand. I'll tell you where we stand. It used to be important for my wife. Now she's telling me she doesn't even want a card. She doesn't care. She thinks it's a stupid holiday. And yeah, I can take her out to dinner, but I don't have to really get her anything. But I know what that means in lady talk. That means you better get me something, even though I think it's a stupid holiday. So I'm shopping today in getting something sent second to air, because just in my backup. Hannah says I'm sentimental about it because my dad used to always buy us girls flowers and chocolate. Now, I'll bake some special cookies or something. Yeah, keep it simple, says Liz. That's my motto. Homemade dinner with the family. Yeah, I always want a card from the hubby. That's all, no diamonds. Yeah, cool. Well, believe me, I'm not buying diamonds. It's going to be sterling silver, okay? It's not going to be yellow. It's going to be in the silver category. Ruthie says, my husband and I neglect ourselves all the time, so Valentine's Day is a great reminder to do something for each other, even if it's tiny. We have four little kids, so it's easy to forget about ourselves. Absolutely. That's cool. I like that. I like that perspective. It's kind of like, you know, it's easy to forget about these things, and if anything, if it becomes a good cue, I think that's awesome. So my wife and I are trying to make date night kind of a regular thing twice a month. And I know this sounds really unromantic, but we found that if we don't schedule this stuff in advance, it doesn't happen. So I am in charge of that, and I find a restaurant, and every other Saturday, I make a reservation at OpenTable. And I, this is embarrassing. I send her a calendar invite, and even if we're in the same house, if she's working from home that day, so it's all electronic, and she accepts, and you know, it's kind of like not very romantic. But anyway, this weekend, it just happens to be that I had already pre-scheduled and made reservations for dinner, a nice dinner. So. I'm going to take credit for that and let her know that that was actually a Valentine's intention, that I planned it all along. Modern romance. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you know, I know, like, it just, but it becomes kind of, I hate to do it. Like, you know, we can't be too spontaneous because, like, you know, childcare and all that, even though a teenager takes care of the boys, takes care of the little one. So, all right, guys. Hey, good stuff. Let's see. Ruthie. So we got Paul. Hey, Paul, welcome. So we got Liz, Jacob, Hannah, and Allison. Welcome too. So guys, we got a couple of new folks here, and I wanted to let you know what's going on before we get started. So I started a new group called a Boardroom, and it's really a small group within the Elevate program. It's for six-figure writers. Liz is part of that, so are Allison and Paul. We got a few other folks also, and they're going to be joining us occasionally in these calls. We also have our own boardroom calls, but they have access to these twice a month coaching and Q&A calls. So just FYI, if you see them, say hello. They're going to share also the same Facebook group, even though we're going to have a kind of a private community separate. But there's so much great momentum in this Facebook group that I want everyone to take advantage of it. So, welcome, boardroom members. Let's go ahead and get started. And the way we like to do this here is to get started on a positive note. What I'd love for everyone to do, if you could just go to the chat area and type in a capital W, and just let me know about a win that you've had over the past couple of weeks. Now, just a reminder, a win could be anything, big or small, just something that makes you feel good, something you feel good about, any kind of progress that you feel you've made recently, and it doesn't have to be, you know, landing a client, landing a huge opportunity. It could be making progress in a certain area, a breakthrough, an aha moment, anything along those lines. So go ahead and let me know. Type it into the chat box, chat area with a capital W in front of it. I know on in my business, one of the things that has been a huge win for me the last couple of weeks is we are trying a new approach and we're batch creating content. So rather than doing it on a regular basis, let's say weekly or every other week, we are experimenting with batch creation. And it's been, you know, when you have a team, it's been of a painful process just because we're documenting the process as we go. So we're kind of building the car as we're driving. But I'm already starting to see the improvements. The whole idea with batch creating the content is we schedule out days to get this done, and we create enough content for a quarter. And we publish 2 to 3 times a week, just to kind of give you an idea. By doing it this way, we're able to focus better on that content, and then it gives us some room for other things the rest of the quarter. And so we're experimenting with that approach. And so far, it's been, I think, mostly positive. And especially for me as the main content creator. So that's been a big win, just getting that out there. And it's something that, by the way, I think it's something worth considering for any of you guys, just to, at least as a concept and something to think about. Ruthie says, pretty much caught up from the flu that smashed through her house. Hey, good to hear you guys are back to being healthy. Paul says, won a $6,500 per month retainer 10 days ago. Ed can't take credit for that. I cannot take credit for that. Hopefully I gave you a little bit of good juju, right, Paul? But, you know, we were still in talk. So, yeah, congratulations. That's wonderful. Liz, and by the way, man, that's a nice size retainer. So that's wonderful. Liz says, meeting my weekly work commitment, sticking to my plan, and enjoying my kids while they were off school during the Seattle snowpocalypse. I love it. Man, you guys got a lot of snow. I saw that picture. That's a lot. I thought you got maybe an inch or so. Hannah sent a proposal for a retainer. It's full of the types of projects I want. Man, fingers crossed for you, Hannah. That's great to hear. Hope that comes through. Let me know how I can help, especially if they come back to you with questions or concerns or whatever. Hopefully there'll be none of that, but if so, I'm here to help you. Allison raised rates for a long-term client and got them thinking about project fees instead of hourly. Oh, I love it. Allison already putting into practice the material. I love it. And Paul, I'll send you Mojo anytime you want, my friend. I'll text it to you. Lee. Hey, Lee. Welcome. Hadn't seen you here. We got a new project from an existing client and just found a new home to rent in a neighborhood I really like. Oh, that's fantastic. Cool. Lee is living in paradise down in Mexico. So, you know, when we're talking about snow and cold rain like we have here today, I don't want to hear about the sunny skies over there, Lee, and the mild temperatures. It's a rough job. I know. Good stuff. All right. So just real quick, before we get to Q&A, one last question for you guys. I'm curious what you're working on right now. What I mean by that is, what is your focus right now in terms of our work together? Type in a capital P in the chat area and let me know what your main project is in your game plan right now. You know, whether you're working on positioning right now, you're working on steady prospecting, you're working on productivity, kind of architecting a better week. Just let me know. What is your main focus right now? And the reason I ask is not only is it interesting to see what everybody is working on, but it's also a cue for you to be mindful. Every week, make sure Monday morning when you start out that you know what your focus is going to be in terms of our work together. Otherwise, it can become overwhelming and you end up getting scattered and not really making progress. So I want to make sure you got something specific that's kind of a focus for the week. Liz is waking up those dormant clients. Yeah, great stuff, right? As we talked about, there's some good opportunity there that might give you some quick wins and help you meet those 90-day objectives. So good. Allison, focusing on that mindset reset. Excellent. Good stuff, laying the foundation right now. Paul is getting that new client settled. Lost a member of my team after 5 days, which put the cat among the pigeons, rather. Oh, gosh. So never a dull moment, right, Paul? Ruthie says, my bio page. Erica sent me your questions today, and the responses in the Facebook group helped a lot. Oh, good stuff. And I love how you guys are helping each other out and collaborating. That's awesome. We got just a great group of people here. Lee, finishing up my home and why me pages for my website so I can review and I can get them posted. Look forward to that. Good stuff. Hannah, get through the LinkedIn and polishing up Warm Mule Prospecting course to refine my prospecting efforts. Good stuff. Good stuff. All right. So guys, let's get to some questions and, I want to know where I can best help you. So if you have something you'd like to talk about, it's pretty straightforward. Just type in a capital Q and give me an idea of what you'd like to discuss. I'm going to bring you in, just FYI. I'm going to unmute you and we can have a conversation. But give me an idea of what your question is about. And, if it's the kind of thing where you're trying to make a decision between one or two or three different options, be ready to talk about what those options are. So that way we can get get you the best help possible. As always, just, you know, one question per person and we can come back. I just want to give everyone a shot. We always have time for all the questions. Just keep your question focused and specific just so we can really give you the best help, possible. And while you're doing that, I'm going to check to see if there are any pre-submitted questions. Let's see. Yeah, we got one pre-submitted. So let's go ahead and start with that one while we wait, while I wait for some questions to come in. Kelly has submitted a question here. How long should you wait to recontact a prospect that didn't respond to your warm emails? Also, should you resend the original email if that's still relevant, or should you always look for a new angle? Okay, cool. So this is really up to you, but I find that if you don't come in with kind of a set of rules for yourself, then it's going to be haphazard and you're going to stress out. I think it's important to have some sort of system written down. And my advice is start with the simplest possible system and process or set of rules. And then you can adjust and experiment as needed. I've had many coaching clients in the past start with this and then they kind of start trying new things and switching it around and making it their own. And that's totally cool. So Kelly, my suggestion would be to send the warm email. And let's just say that's on a Tuesday, and then wait 2 weeks and then send a follow-up email. Okay. So why 2 weeks? The reason I suggest that is 2 weeks is long enough to kind of get their attention again in case the first time around it was just a completely crazy day. We've all been there, right? Those days where like I had a day like that yesterday. I just didn't even get the email. I tried a couple of times and then I had to just get up a little extra early this morning because my inbox was completely out of control. So a lot of clients, as you know, get completely overwhelmed too. And if you happen to reach them that day, your email is going to be buried. By waiting 2 weeks, you're trying to see if maybe things have cleared up with them, for them a bit, and trying to see if you can get their attention at that point. So that's really the reasoning behind 2 weeks. A lot of people are concerned when I say this that 2 weeks is kind of a long time and they may not remember your original email. That's never the intention, with this approach. In fact, I don't ever expect them to remember the original one. Now, when they read it, it might trigger something. They might think, you know, this sounds familiar, but the intention is not to keep them close together, just to keep that continuity. The intention is just to see if 2 weeks later things have cleared up. Then the second follow-up, so this would be the third attempt, if you will, I recommend waiting another 2 weeks. And I only like doing that second follow-up or that third attempt if it's a prospect you think is worth going the extra mile for. Typically, I suggest sending your warm email as a snail mail letter. So something you print and you send in a regular envelope, hand address the envelope if you can, and just send that piece of mail. You gotta adjust the copy a little bit because obviously they can't hit reply. So you're going to have to include your email address and contact information there, but try that. And what you're trying to create there is, just a different medium to see if you can create a bit of a pattern interrupt. And sometimes that will work. So anyway, that's kind of the standard. And I have examples as to what these follow-ups look like in the warm email prospecting training. So I won't get into that, because your question is really about timing. And so your second question here, the follow-up question, should you resend the original email if it's still relevant, or should you always look for a new angle? I suggest sending the same email with some additional information. So if email one was, hey, I noticed, you know, great set of white papers that you got in your resources page, good stuff, I read a couple of them, I'm impressed, then follow it up 2 weeks later, you know, that first follow-up attempt. The way I like to do it is I like to resend that original email with some new copy on top, kind of like a forward, where you're resending the email, but then the original one is below, immediately below. And rather than saying, hey, I sent you this a couple weeks ago, I wanted to bump this up to the top of your inbox, which is what a lot of people do, or I wanted to see if you got it or if you read it. I never ask that. The way I follow up is indirectly. So I sent them that original email. My follow-up simply says, I forgot to mention, you know, I have a good amount of experience in this particular area, which I know you guys are really big on, something like that. So it's kind of like the, hey, I thought of something that I didn't mention in my original email. And you could use all kinds of different things there. It could be a link to something. It could be just a little blurb, maybe mentioning a client you've worked with, some experience you have in a certain domain or area, so anything along those lines. And what will happen is the prospect will just read that and go, well, wait a minute, what is this about? Because there won't be any more information. But then your original email is directly below, and then they'll connect the dots on their own. That's a much more powerful way to follow up than to say, hey, I wanted to bump this up to the top of your email. Because what does that message say? That message is, hey, I'm important. You need to pay attention to me. How come you didn't respond? And that never, I shouldn't say never, it rarely goes well. So now, another approach you could take is, you know, we went through this three-step process: original warm email, follow-up, and then second follow-up. I do recommend, if it's a company that's worth pursuing, a month or two later, starting all over with that same sequence. So I'm not sure if that's what you meant, Kelly, in terms of should you send the same email, the original email. But I find that that's perfectly okay. Many times you'll get a response at that point. Keep in mind, your prospects aren't going to remember the emails you sent. Okay, so don't feel that, you know, gosh, I need to come up with a new angle, a new hook. You don't really need to. You could if you wanted to. I think it's just easier to just start again. Or I should say, find somebody else in the organization that you'd like to try. That's another approach. Hey, I found this other marketing director in this other division. Try her. So, you can use the original email. Okay, good stuff. Let's see. Ruthie has a question here. How should I package services when I provide different things to all my clients, meaning none of them want exactly the same thing? Yeah, good stuff. I know you were going to be asking that. So, Ruthie, let me bring you in. Hey, how are you, Ruthie?
Oh, making it.
Oh, you're just trying to get back to normal, right?
Basically, and now I have a cold, so that's cool.
Oh, the fun never ends.
Yeah.
All right, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to bring in, let me draw this out because I think it might help. And we talked in the Facebook group about maybe conceptually how to start thinking about it, right?
Yep.
All right, so let's do a new share. I'm going to share my iPad with you. Come on, iPad. There we go. Okay. Let me try this. I'm gonna give you one idea here. This is conceptual, but I think this is a good way to start the conversation. See if this helps.
Okay.
you know, right now it sounds like, you know, and this is the case for many of us, we help our clients with execution. And by that, I mean, hey, we write stuff for them, right?
Yeah.
And it's production. We're producing content. Great. You can make a wonderful living there. But if we're talking about how can we package things, not just to add more value, but also to increase our income, you could do some improvements there in execution, and we can talk about that. But I think the biggest opportunity, and what I welcome you, encourage you to think about, is going upstream. The above that is planning. Okay, so there are planning components. Examples of that: editorial calendars, planning out a marketing campaign, white paper plan definitely falls into that, right? So this is stuff that they might be doing completely or to some extent that you might be able to help them with. Okay. And then you could also go upstream from here and help them with strategy. Okay. So strategy would be what it sounds like, brainstorming, strategic advice and recommendations. And, you know, all this really flows in this direction anyway, right? Everything starts with strategy and then goes into planning and then execution. The thing is, you're usually getting involved here.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like, hey, here's what we need. But the reason they're able to tell you what they need is because I've already done these other steps. There are clients out there that really need help with this and need help with this.
Yeah.
Okay. So with me so far?
Yeah.
So I would start asking yourself, okay, which clients, or forget about which clients right now, but where can I help clients, or how might I be able to help clients here and here in order to put together a bundle that includes more than just the execution? Because the execution is just the product, right? And it's got a price, and there'll always be a competitive aspect to it. But when you put a bundle together that includes more than that, not only is it higher value, but you're able to kind of disguise, you know, what some of these things are. Like, they might be used to knowing, they might know, okay, well, a case study, you know, in the past we've paid $1,200 to $1,400 or $1,500. Well, when you include some of these other elements, then, you know, you're creating a package, which means that you can hide that.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, because I actually recently did a strategy for one client, and then I actually also recently did a quarterly editorial calendar, and I realized that while I did come out pretty decently with both of those projects, based on like time spent and stuff, it was probably about $100 an hour. I'm aiming higher now than that. So I would definitely want to price those significantly higher. But I mean, it was kind of my first time doing either of those things, but it was one of those things where, you know, I was asked if I could do it, and I nodded vigorously while hitting the Google search, you know, to figure out exactly what I was, you know, what I needed to do. But, okay.
But it was a learning experience, right?
Yeah. And it's definitely, I can see, like, I think it was probably by like the third month for the editorial calendar. And I was like, you know, I was using like keyword, I think I was using SEMrush because that particular client has SEMrush. So I was using that to like help generate ideas and stuff, but I was definitely getting like brainstorm fatigue. You know?
Yeah, it happens. But now you see how, like, then that gives you an opportunity to like charge for that.
Yeah,
what
I definitely
don't want to do.
But
you don't want to charge that as a unit basis. You don't want to say, okay, so much an hour to help you with that. Now you can really bundle all that into a solution.
Yeah.
You know?
And I guess the other part would probably be finding, because like you said, we normally come in on the execution phase, but you end up no, I mean, sometimes like when you're even just talking with the client, you realize that they are, you know, they want to do this and they want to blog about these things because they feel like that's what they need to do, but nobody has actually done the strategy you're planning. Mm-hmm. So that sometimes opens up opportunities. Or, you know, I guess maybe even saying like, maybe before we get started on actually writing these blogs, why don't you and I discuss strategy and planning? Like that could be an opening, right?
Yeah. You could, yeah. And what you do is, you know, it's, I find that we could go ahead and do this. We can do this if you want. But, you know, my concern is you're going to be spending resources on something that may not be as effective because, you know, we haven't taken a look at this or this.
Yeah.
So I don't necessarily, it depends on your approach and how you think about it and how you position it. I don't like tell clients, no, you're wrong. We need to look at this other stuff first. I like to say, hey, that's fine. You know, I can work with you on this. However, I found that to get the maximum return on that investment, we should take a look at this piece and this piece.
Yeah,
and I can help you with that.
Yeah.
Right? So for me, like in my coaching business, you can probably see this because like, you're here, right? This would be, hey, can I buy an hour of your time? You know, and years ago, I would do that, you know. And they wanted something very, okay, they wanted some questions answered. But notice we're just really, that's the execution piece. Then eventually I started, no, you know what? We need to do the whole thing because I can give you answers without the context, without really digging deep. That's, you know, it may not make sense.
Yeah.
It's not a formula. So I think this is a framework to help you think of some ideas. And then the other thing that I mentioned yesterday in the group, and I wanted to make sure this made sense, this is for everybody, guys, is I'm not a believer in, like, formulating something in a vacuum and then putting it out there in the market and seeing, because, like, that never works. It works on paper, but rarely in practice. What we're looking for here is the intersection of what you like to do and work on, where you, you know, the work that brings you joy, and what they want, need. All right, so we're looking for this area. And the reason I mention this is I find that most people who start putting packages together do it in a vacuum, and it's really based on just this. Oh, I think I should do this in this blogging package or this whatever. And they haven't really taken into account how their target market thinks about this or buys it, how they go about it, what they're trying to accomplish.
Yeah.
So look for those opportunities. It's really going to be the magic is going to happen here.
Okay. Okay, thanks.
And by the way, not to confuse things further, but I know this is really helps everybody in here. You could also, you think about this, right? You could also with many of the quotes you put out there, proposals, you could do like three tiers. You know, tier one could be execution, right? I'll give you these. I'll give you this product. Tier two could be a combo of, you know, execution plus, you know, planning, some planning component, and then execution plus planning plus strategy. And of course, you're not going to call it that. Hey, this is going to be planning, this is going to be strategy. But I'm saying when you put it together, that's essentially what you're doing.
Yeah, yeah.
And in fact, I would actually do them in reverse when you present them, not to get into the weeds here, but because it positions the middle one better. So this is that, and this is And then now what this becomes psychologically, this has been proven, this becomes a question. Before, when you provided one price, it was like yes or no.
Right.
Now this is a which one?
Oh, yeah.
And most people end up picking this one.
Okay. All right, we'll have to give that a shot.
Yeah. Don't overwhelm yourself, Ruthie. Just take it one step at a time. Start with something really simple, you know, and see where it goes and build on that. In other words, don't spend the next 3 weeks putting together all these packages. That's a lot of work.
Yeah.
Start with one and test it and see, you know, who takes you up on it.
Okay.
Does this help?
Yes, it does. I'm not doing a whole bunch of prospecting yet right now, but I think
you're pretty booked, right?
Yeah, although things have loosened up. Things have loosened up. I brought on some help, and then I went through. Sorry, I feel like now I'm kind of going off track, but I fired a couple of clients, so that helps. So
good. Sometimes it's necessary.
Yes.
Good. Hey, love to see the growth that you're experiencing, and glad you guys are getting healthier. Hopefully this cold won't last.
Thanks.
All right. Good stuff. And Paul commented that this is exactly how he structures proposals with the tiers, and it works really well for him. So yeah, that's good validation. Good stuff, Paul. And Allison said, hi, light bulb. I've always done the strategy and planning bits, but thought of them as just a part of the execution instead of their own separate skills. You know what? I did the same thing for years, Allison. I don't feel bad. But very, very common. And I thought, I was all proud of myself because I thought, oh, this is a value add. You know, when you work with me, I include these things. The problem was that I wasn't charging proportionally, and ended up really leaving a lot of money on the table. So, I brought things up and I included, you know, these bundles, and that's how that led to, actually it was born out of the retainer agreements that I started working on with clients. And I realized, you know, this is really a better way of doing it, because then you're not putting all the focus on this. If you build a business just on quoting, you know, projects like this, right, deliverables, standalone deliverables, you can get your income up to a certain level, you're quickly going to plateau. And I think that's where many of you are right now. So good stuff. Let's see. Let me go back here. And Jacob has a question here about taxes. Since 2018 was my first year in my writing business, I'm wondering if you have any advice working with a tax professional, doing it myself in QuickBooks, working with some kind of service/agency, et cetera. Yeah. Hey, let me bring you in. Jacob, how are you?
Ed, I'm good. How are you?
Doing well, my friend. Doing well. Yeah. You first year in business last year, but man, you have really grown. That's fantastic.
Thanks. Yeah, it went well last year, but so before, when I was doing music, I had a tax professional that like specialized in working with musicians, and so she would just do all our stuff. And so yeah, if you just have any like kind of general advice of the ways to do it with freelance writing business, that would be helpful.
Okay. Are you a sole proprietor? How are you set up?
Yeah, I am.
Okay. Here's what I would recommend. So as you can imagine, right, I'm not a tax professional or an accountant or a lawyer. So the standard answer is, look, you need to consult with a financial professional. Mm-hmm. But that's more to it than just that. I really believe in that. So I come from a family of entrepreneurs, and my dad always drilled it in my head. Hey, listen, He made me understand that an accountant is like part of your team. Think of it as like a board of advisors you're creating, and an accountant should be one of them.
Okay.
And I really believe in that. After working with an accountant for the past 14 years, he really is a key part of my team. It's somebody that I have on call. I mean, I rarely call him, but you know, 2-3 times a year we talk. I need to be doing a little bit more planning with him. We don't do enough of that, but it's money well spent. So, my recommendation would be to look, and you guys are already settled, right, in Nashville?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I would ask around and find an accountant, a CPA that focuses on small businesses, especially if they have a lot of independent professionals, you know, that as clients. You want somebody who understands your world.
Mm-hmm.
I had somebody before who just really worked with mostly high-level executives and wealthy individuals. And then that's not me. So I didn't, you know, they didn't bother with me. Like, they just didn't give me the time of day, and mm-hmm. they didn't understand kind of what I was trying to do. This firm, small firm, does, and they're really, really good. So that would be the first thing. And because then these questions, you know, they can help you plan to minimize your tax liability. There's so much they could do, and also in terms of business structure, based mm-hmm. on your specific situation, they're going to be able to make a recommendation, because you're probably not going to want to stay a sole proprietor from okay. both a legal perspective and a tax liability perspective.
Mm-hmm.
But this is not the kind of thing that I would, you know, do research online. Hey, what's the, like, this falls into the category of, no, work with a professional who can look at your individual situation and make a recommendation.
Okay. Yeah, that's good to know.
And then the other thing I might recommend is to maybe look at the cash flow management lesson under Optimize Operations in the training portal.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is game changing right there. And that has nothing to do with, you know, who you end up working with or hiring an accountant or anything like that. That is, especially with the growth you've experienced, that's very important. So if you feel that this is an area of concern for you right now, or one you want to improve on, I would go through that if you're able.
Okay, great. Yeah, I definitely will. I haven't gone through that one yet, so that'll be good. I'll take a look.
Cool. Good stuff, man. Well, I'm curious, like, in terms of the tax liability reductions, I mean, they could be significant, just FYI. So this, we're not talking about saving like $1,000. I mean, we're talking, it could be much higher.
By working with a CPA or by changing, like, from a sole proprietor to something else?
Both. By changing things based on their recommendations, I mean, it could be significant.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay,
yeah.
Great.
Cool.
Great. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. Let's see. Hannah has a question. Curious about your workflow for closing retainer deals. Do you recommend adding an area to sign in the schedule AB proposal, or do you send the proposal and once it's approved, you send your standard fee agreement? Yeah, let's talk. Hey, Hannah.
Hey, Ed. How are you?
Good. So, not sure I understand the question. Can you walk me through? Are you talking about what should you send and when? And
yeah, it's pretty simple. I mean, it's pretty simple and basic. Like, whenever I've ever you know, had any other talks with clients, I'll usually send them something. Sometimes it's just over email, but maybe I'll send them kind of my little like rate sheet thing. And then they'll say, you know, usually the middle option or whatever. And then it's like kind of that whole great. And once, you know, you pick, then I'll send you a fee agreement and then we can get started, you know, that kind of thing. But so it was like kind of this big proposal. And just before I sent it, I was just had this moment where I was like, I want to make this as easy as possible for her to say yes. So I thought about just adding an area for her to sign at the bottom of the proposal.
Uh-huh.
You know, rather than, okay, once that's okay, and then I'll send something else for you to sign. It's just like more back and forth. You know what I mean? Higher barrier to entry. So just curious what your workflow is for that. You send a proposal. Once they say looks great, you send the fee agreement, correct?
Actually, I send my fee agreement is basically that, is my proposal.
All as one? Okay.
Yeah, it's just one. So, but I hear what you're saying. Let me check. What I'm hearing is, how can I reduce the friction in this process? Mm-hmm. So it's like they say yes, and then I can get the next thing, micro commitments essentially, right?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. So I like that idea. Okay. So your question was what my workflow was. I'm not sure it will be relevant here in this situation, because when I've done these kind of agreements, I already have a really strong relationship with a client who we've been working for at least a few months. And I know this is a relatively new client.
Yeah.
So you maybe don't have that rapport yet or that trust. But here's a thought based on what you just said. I like the idea of first sending a one pager, with kind of the schedule. And, you know, this is what I'm proposing. And then, you know, fee and, you know, maybe some really basic terms. You know, build monthly, and there's a 30-day out for either party, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And in that, it's just then the ask is it a yes? You know, are you in or not?
Mm-hmm.
So you know, that your request is, are you good? And if it's I got some questions, then you can address those in a conversation. No, or maybe in here. And if it's a yes, then you can, this is really, now you're sending the fee agreement, you know, the contract essentially.
Right.
So I like the thought. And is this kind of what you had in mind? Maybe doing something like this, but you wouldn't require a signature with this one.
Right. Yeah. Cause this is just kind of, I'm laying out everything that I see as being, you know, part of the deal, and, you know, what I'm going to be delivering every, you know, my reports and all that stuff. So I was kind of like, can I make this as easy as possible? But I didn't know if it made sense to, So you're saying maybe send the proposal, and then is at the bottom of the proposal have a little kind of like checkbox, yes or no kind of thing? Not exactly, but you know what I mean, right?
No, you know what? I would do that in the... maybe in the body of the email, because let's say this is going to be a PDF.
Just an email, yeah. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, so this is a PDF. You could at the bottom ask, you know, want to move forward? Just reply to, just, you know, just reply and let me know. Yeah. I don't know if you guys have all seen this from me, right? Because everyone here basically got the same call to action before joining this program. Hey, here are the details. If you want to get started, just reply with I'm in. I don't know if you noticed that.
Right.
And that was done on purpose. I'm doing the same thing. You know what I'm doing is I'm trying to remove all the friction, because to say I'm in is a very easy thing. And then I can send you to the page where you register.
Right.
And so that's essentially the same concept. So you can include this blurb at the bottom, and you can include it in your email as well. In your email, just say, hey, just hit reply and let me know, you know, I'm in, or let's go for it, or let's move forward. And, you know, we'll get going on it. You're not saying, and I'll get started. You're just saying we'll get going on it. So if they say yes, then you send them the agreement. If it's a no, hopefully it will be not a no, but more of a question, then, you know, you can address this in a call or email.
Yeah. Okay.
As opposed to sending them this, you know, multi-page document, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Because that's the thing too, not overwhelming them. So, okay. Yeah. That's pretty much what I did. I sent her the proposal, said basically, if you're in, awesome, looking with you, working with you, and let me know if you have questions. So, okay, cool.
Perfect, yeah. And you know what happens? When somebody, once somebody says yes here, it's like it's hard to say no to this. You know what I'm saying? It's like,
yeah,
because we all want to be congruent and consistent. And this is not about being manipulative or anything. It's just, yeah, you just, hey, you said yes, and now I'm just, this is the next step.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to going straight to that, straight to the agreement.
Yeah, yeah. Because, yeah, I want to be sure that it's all laid out clearly, but it's broken up, so it's not overwhelming either. But she's seen my fee agreement, too, before. So I hopefully it won't be intimidating. She'll just be like, oh, yeah, I recognize this, and, you know. Just scroll to the bottom and sign. So, you know, cool.
Perfect. Man, keep us posted.
I will. I have a follow-up question about Ruthie's question, but I don't want to, you know, double up on the questions. But if you have time, loop back to me.
Yeah, actually, let me see. Right now, there are no other open questions. So, yeah, let's address it.
Okay. So, yeah, so I'm just curious about basically what is involved in all of this sort of the higher value tiers, the planning and then the strategy. So like I said, I've really broken up, I've tiered out some of the blogging stuff I was doing according to, I guess it would be planning, because it's like, do you need me to do the SEO research, or are you going to do it? Am I going to find research links, or are you going to find those? So yeah, what's involved in planning and strategy for you?
Well, I mean, it depends on the project, right? These are not discrete things. They're gray areas, and it depends on what we're talking about here. But right. In that example, I would consider SEO, editorial calendar, maybe, you know, SOPs, like processes, and helping them map out who's going to do what and how this is all going to flow.
Okay.
Project management.
Oh, okay.
Potentially. I mean, again, you could say, well, that's kind of execution. Well, it depends. I mean, I would say in many cases, I would put it under planning if that's not something you would normally do under execution, right? Normally, you just write the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe project management. So there's several things that could fall into that depending on the project. Strategy is really more like brainstorm, kind of strategizing, recommendations. As a result, recommendation would be the kind of the byproduct or the deliverable. Anything around that.
Okay. Yeah, because I'm curious about it, I suppose, as I move into these sort of hardier projects that I've been aiming for and I'm finally getting now, case studies and white papers and stuff, because it's kind mm-hmm. of, yeah, so with blogging, it's like SEO, editorial calendar, right, that kind of thing. So branding, strategizing, recommending, training. So are we talking about sort of that white paper planning type stuff where it's like, who are we talking to, why are we talking to them, what?
Yeah, that's a blend of strategy and planning, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
You know, it the deliverable, the ultimate thing is really a plan, so it's heavy on the planning, but it's got some strategic components to it.
Right.
You know, so that's a combination of things. This is why, I mean, I don't get hung up on, keep in mind this is really a construct, this is not a, hey, this you're not going to give this to the client and say, I can do this under strategy, I can do this under planning. This is really to help you think about it.
Okay.
You know, and so with white paper plan, that's really a kind of a combination of these two things. It's heavier on the planning, though, because that's the deliverable ends up being this plan.
Right.
But in order to put the plan together, you kind of need the strategy.
Yes.
You know, there's a strategic component. By the way, one I put also in here, it could be training. In some areas, you know, it might make sense to put together like a little training, you know, for them. like for you guys, right? So I put together a game plan for you, but I'm also pointing you to the different tools and resources. The game plan I put together for you is also strategic. There's some strategy there.
Right. Definitely.
So yeah, this is not so much, hey, I got to have different things in different categories in my final proposal. This is really more to help you think about it. This is white paper plan. And just start. I think this is why I mentioned to Ruth, hey, don't spend too much time trying to create all these different packages mm-hmm. and bundles. Start with one. And all I ask is, look, step outside of your comfort zone. So if you've really been kind of playing here, okay, how can I add some components of this and this? And it's usually going to be not going to an existing client, right? Many times it's going to be like when you come across an opportunity, that would be a great time to maybe think along these lines.
Okay.
That's a more practical way. You know, part of that retainer agreement you're putting together, I know it's heavy on execution, but there's the planning component to it, isn't there?
Yeah. Yeah, there does seem to be. She seems to have a plan, but I would say there's room to step in and propose some more planning support or something along those lines. And I have another call this afternoon, so I'm trying to think. So is it basically with someone else? Is it so basically I'll get on the phone with them, hear what they need, and then try to figure out what elements of the strategy planning and execution I can offer to them. And then put together three tiers based on that.
Mm. Yeah, you could. And as you get more comfortable with it, you'll be able to kind of seed the client a little better. Maybe I can think of a better term. But in the conversation, you can kind of frame this so that when they get your proposal, their mind's already a little bit more open to this. So in other words, as you're having a conversation with them and they're kind of coming to you with execution, mm-hmm. you're now more comfortable asking questions about planning and strategy. It may be offering some suggestions off the top of your head of where else you could help them there. And then at the end of the conversation, you're basically saying something to the effect of, well, great, let me give this some thought. I want to put together some options for you to consider. And one option will definitely be strictly these deliverables. And the other two options will be a combination of things that involve a little bit of planning and strategy to help make sure that you get the most value out of these pieces or out of this effort.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
And by the way, I mean, not to like add more to this because you guys are probably thinking, oh, my head hurts. But there's also another opportunity, guys, here to package. The original question is like, you know, how do I create packages? How do I package my services? How do I productize my services? Maybe what you typically do here is writing. But, you know, there's an opportunity here to add design. I know some of you, I think Paul, works with a couple of designers, for example. There's the, web development, for instance, certain clients where, yeah, but they could really, you know, they don't want to project manage all these pieces. And maybe you have like a web developer, like a WordPress person who could help them with some of these things. There's the Offbeat. I'll give you an example of this. Offbeat, let's call them services. So I had a client who contacted me and said, listen, you're helping us with these lead generation email campaigns and with this marketing content. We could really use some help. Cold calling. Like, we just don't have the resources. I don't want to hire somebody and train them to cold call. I want my salespeople to be able to follow up on qualified leads, sales ready leads, essentially. And I, at first I told him, I said, listen, Jeff, I don't want to mess with that. I don't want a cold call. And then it got me thinking, well, wait a minute. You know, actually he gave me the idea. Well, do you know somebody? And I said, you know, let me get back to you. I knew this guy who I had worked with a client a few years before. And 2 months before that call, he contacted me and saying, hey, listen, I started my own company and it's a cold calling service in B2B and specializing in technology. Right now it's just me, but I'm looking to hire a couple other people. And, you know, if you ever come across an opportunity, let me know. I'd love a referral. So I talked to him and I said, hey, what would you be interested in coming under me and in offering this to my client? He said, yeah. And essentially this became an opportunity where he was charging me $3,000 a month. And don't be mad at me, but I charged the client $6,000 a month.
Awesome.
So net profit of $3,000, and all I was doing was project management, every week, probably about a couple of hours, if that, maybe an hour. And my client didn't want to mess around looking for somebody who could do this. He knew that I knew their product really, really well. So that's the value add, right? And they trust me. And this went on for about 18 months. And guess what? A year later, he said, okay, you know what we really need help right now? Account management. I need someone who can follow up with our customers because it's a software as a service and it's a 1-year contract and we want to nurture them and make sure they're happy. So when the renewal time comes, we can have a higher probability they're going to renew for another year. And I just don't have the resources. And there again, I tapped my network and I asked somebody I thought would be great for. She said, you know what? I don't think I'm the person, but my sister would be perfect for that. She's a stay-at-home mom. She's looking to get back into the workforce, but she doesn't, you know, she needs flexibility. And she used to work for Hewlett Packard doing exactly that, account management. I said, brilliant. Same thing. Same kind of markup. In fact, eventually after 2 years, he ended up hiring her. He asked my permission. I said, go for it. So offbeat. So there's opportunities in execution as well. Don't leave those off the table. I just wanted to get you thinking, not just in execution. I wanted to get you thinking in all three areas.
I never would have thought of that, actually, those things in execution. So, I mean, maybe I would have, but not yet. It hasn't crossed my mind yet.
Oh, there you go. That's okay.
Yeah, well,
absolutely. Yeah. Cool stuff. It just, once you know it, then you're going to start looking for the opportunities, guys.
Right.
And that's that, right? That's what we want. So the seed's been planted.
Yeah.
Now let's see. Okay. Good stuff. I love these discussions. Hey, in fact, let me check in with you guys. And I've seen the chat, so I know you guys are still there. And, but I'm curious. What's been most valuable so far and what we've discussed? If you can type in a capital V in the chat area and just let me know what's been like a big takeaway. Been really helpful for you, whether it's something you and I talked about or from another conversation. Doug said, ISP discussion by far, great advice. Oh, awesome. Great. Just going back here in the chat, let's see. Allison said, ha, light bulb. I've always done the strategy and planning bits, but thought of them just part of the execution instead of their own separate skills. And Allison made a great comment here. Sounds like a great way to help clients realize how valuable you are too. Absolutely. That's the interesting part, right? It's like you are putting more money in your pocket while having clients thank you, which to me is just mind-blowing. Wow. And they really feel grateful because it's like, wow, you're really adding more value to my business. Ruthie says regarding the cash flow management, it's already changed so much for her business. Yeah, man, and it's been a very short period, right? Since you implemented it. That's good stuff. Yeah, and by the way, the cash flow management is based on profit first. So my recommendation would be go through it first, because I've really customized it to what we do, and then I suggest getting a copy of Profit First, the book, which is fantastic. That's got a lot more detail, but I think if you read that one first, it's going to make your head spin, and I want to make sure you implement it. So, okay, let's see. Liz said, most valuable. I'm with Doug, SP for the win. Ditto, Doug, says Hannah. Ruthie says, packaging services info has been great. Allison says, I second Doug, so useful to think in practical terms. Good. Awesome. Okay, good stuff. So, again, guys, it's an open floor right now. So if you want to discuss something, need feedback, you have a specific question, just type in capital Q in the chat area. I really look for that Q. It really helps me make sure I don't miss one of the questions. So make sure to put that Q in front of it, and I'll bring in, we can have a conversation. Liz said, or Ruthie said, I offer the strategy with some competitor analysis and an assessment of where they are now. Oh, I love that. Like tearing apart their website, social media, and email efforts. So that's kind of, all right, let me add that to the list. That's a great one. And that is, let's just call it audit or audits, right? This is competitor analysis, audits, analysis. An assessment where they are right now. So assessment. And then, of course, there's going to be like a recommendation component probably, right? So the deliverable is some kind of document that walks them through your recommendations. And then, of course, you position yourself as the obvious choice for helping them execute that. Yeah, okay. Ruthie says, yeah, always include recommendations at the interview section. So that kind of becomes, this is, this is kind of the strategy. This is planning and execution. Just some ideas. Oh, and let me share it so you know what I'm looking at here. So I added a couple of things. All right. Open floor right now. So if anyone wants to jump in, don't feel bad. If you don't, that's totally cool. I'm not looking to fill up time. Just some people wait till the last minute. They feel bad about asking. Or if you have a second question, you know, we could say we're in the second round too. You know, at the end of the day, what I like about this approach is, again, I want to step back and make sure everyone understands where this fits into your business. You guys are at a point in your business where you have hit a plateau, right? And you can't keep doing what you've been doing and get to the same level. I mean, maybe incrementally you can make a small improvements, but you're really near the top based on the way you've been doing things. So what's that saying, right? If you want to get to the next place, you can't do, you know, you're not going to get there with what got you here. Something along those lines. Getting to that next level is going to force you to start thinking along these lines. That's why this is so important. Earning more in less time, it's not just a saying. I mean, it's absolutely doable, but you got to start thinking a little differently. And a lot of that, as you can see, right, it's stepping out of your comfort zone. It's, you got to do things that you hadn't done before and you don't feel comfortable with. And you know what? They're not always going to work, and that's okay. But you won't know unless you try. Now, having said that, I know you guys, and I bet that in more than 90% of cases, it is going to work because you're the kind of people who are going to make it work. It may not be flawless, might stub your toe, but that's okay. That's how you grow. Paul says, I have to go. Twins are going nuts. Been brilliant. Thanks. I'll see you all next time. Awesome, Paul. Hey, great to have you here. Thank you. Thank you for joining us. So Paul is out in Sweden. So he is, it is like 8 o'clock in the evening over there. He's got young twins. all right. Liz has got a question here. With dormant client messaging, I'm going for 9-word email, but also want to be sure they don't immediately revert to what I've done in the past, for instance, blogs. Any thoughts on how to position so I can avoid that? Is leading with the new idea? Yeah, you could. So let's talk about that. Hey, Liz, how are you? I can't hear you, Liz. I don't know if your mic's on or maybe you're on mute. Okay. Well, while we're waiting for Liz, let me go ahead and it looks like she's plugging in her mic. Bottom line is yes. So if you are going to try to rekindle, reactivate dormant clients, past clients, in what you've done for them in the past has been lower value, then don't go to them with the same thing, right? So it's an opportunity to say, hey, have you thought about X? Right, Liz, I think I can hear you now.
Can you hear me now?
Hey, I can hear you now.
Okay. It's like that song. sorry, last time my audio worked great, so today I didn't even test it. Of course it fails.
Nah, no worries. No worries. So what I was saying was, you know, that, yeah, you definitely don't want to, if what you did for them in the past is not something you want to do or you know is going to be lower value, then don't even go lead with that. Lead with something else, you know, and there are a couple of ways you could do it, several ways you could do it. I mean, one could be, hey, have you thought about X? You know, I'm starting to help clients in this area.
Right.
And then, of course, cap it off with a question as always.
Okay.
And, you know, don't be afraid to leave it. Here's the other, I've been experimenting with this one because it's counterintuitive, so I always forget. Don't be afraid to make the email more vague than you feel comfortable with. So you don't have to like give them all the details. Hey, have you thought about doing X? That's a very specific email. And because you know what that is? That's a yes or no question.
Okay.
Yeah. Right? And it can work with some clients and with work that you want to do more of. But if what you're trying to do is to spark a conversation,
right,
then it's better to go vague.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
And I'm just like brainstorming here completely, right? But I've been helping clients lately with some strategy and planning. You know, would you be interested in you know talking a little bit about that, or how I might be able to help you, or so keeping the you know the thing that you want to talk to them about vague.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It could be, you know, I've been working with some clients on helping them get so much more of the marketing content this year, much more value. Would you like to chat for 15 minutes sometime this week? I don't know. I would have to. I like to play with these things, and I can rarely do it by talking. I have to type it. Here's what you want. If you reverse engineer it, Liz, what you want is for them to say, tell me more.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay.
So I might not even say, would you like to talk this week? I might say, you know, interested in learning more or something along those lines.
Okay. That just gave me an idea that along those kind of strategy plan ideas, you could say, or I could say, been, you know, working with people the plan for how they can repurpose their content this year. Should we chat or something? Yeah. Okay.
And even that you can make even more vague, right, with some repurposing strategies. You know, so you're not getting into how they could repurposing. Just leave it more, keep it vague.
Okay. It is hard for me to go vague. That's glad you said that, because I'm all about the bullets. Here's the plan. Let's go. But yeah, I just really
I would think, you know, the thing about those emails, and this is what's so fascinating about them, they're hard to write because it's such short copy. With when you have more room, you're able to qualify things and offer an illustration and more detail. And this is like, you know, it's like a peephole. Like you can only get to see like this thing.
Right.
And that's what you want though, because you're creating that tension that just begs for an answer. It's like, well, tell me more. So the way I like to think of it is, okay, what can I ask them that's going to cause most of them to say, tell me more?
Yeah.
Start with that end in mind and work backward.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome. Okay. Onward ho.
Yeah. And if you want to, you know, maybe run some of those by me, you know, as you kind of brainstorm, let me know. And I
think okay,
if you can give me something to work with, then it'll be easier, I think, for me to help you.
Okay. Yeah. I'll take you up on that. Thank you.
Cool. Cool. So, yeah, let me know in the forum. We can start a nice little thread there.
Okay.
In the Facebook group. Yeah.
Great.
Cool.
Thanks.
Does that help? I felt like I kind of led you down a certain path but didn't necessarily give you the...
Well, that's kind of the thing with this. Is they are all, you know, you like you said, you just have to massage them for a while. So.
Yeah. It's maybe with an example might be, let's just say, oh, you know what? I want to do these white paper plans. So we were talking about that a little bit earlier. I've been using this new approach to plan some of your white papers more effectively. You know, interested in hearing about it?
Yeah, right.
I don't know.
Yeah.
With something along those lines. And it's kind of like, wow, I like the sound of it. And you've piqued my interest. Yeah. I don't know if we would do something, but you've hit on something that's important to me. And there's enough intrigue here that I want to maybe hear more.
Right. Okay.
Cool,
thank you.
All right, Liz.
Okay.
You're welcome. Okay. Ruthie says, I feel like I need to push into these bigger content pieces. Yeah, it's, you know, if you want to, I mean, I don't think it's, you know, these are things that everyone needs to do. You have to like longer form content. You did make a comment, Ruthie, in the Facebook group that, I think it was in the Facebook group that you didn't know if you wanted to do white papers because they involve interviews and they're technical. And I said, well, wait a minute. White papers aren't necessarily technical. In fact, most of the ones I've written are not technical, number one. Number two, long-form content usually is going to involve more research, potentially some interviews. But, you know, you just got to ask yourself, well, why is that a problem? Is it out of fear or is it that you absolutely hate doing interviews, you know, to just dig deep and find out, you know, because many times I think, you know, we tend to talk ourselves out of things that would be great for us, but there's something blocking us and maybe the block is really not a valid block. I mean, there are some things that I won't do just because I've done them before and I can't stand doing that kind of work or working on writing on those topics, those types of topics, or I'm just not good at it, and that's fine. But that's because I've tried it and then I decided, you know what, this is not for me. But sometimes when I haven't gone in that direction, some aspects of it are very attractive to me, but then I think, well, I don't want to do this because I can't, or I'm not qualified, or, you know, that's really your inner critic, you know, keeping you in a safe zone and making sure that you stay at your current level, because from evolutionary terms, that's how we survived. It's like, you know, you need to protect yourself and your family. So, but it doesn't serve us very well now. So just anyway, that's my soapbox. And you also asked, content audit plus repurposing strategy could be a package, right? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, but again, so that's the, let me go back to, keep this in mind, right? So it sounds like, hey, what you just mentioned is what you like. Make sure that clients see value in that. They need to see value in it. And you need to understand, what are they looking to accomplish? And if you can find that middle ground, right, then it just needs to fall in here. All right, Hannah has a question here. Here's an easy one. How many days should I wait to send a follow-up email on my proposal? So let me see, Hannah, I got you unmuted. When did you send it, yesterday or today?
Yesterday.
All right, so I like to send a follow-up email the next day with, I wanted to make sure you got it. I usually follow up right away, just because you never know with email. And then instead of saying, are you ready to get started? I mean, so a couple schools of thought. One is, are you ready to get started? I kind of have mixed feelings about that one. I like to try more of a statement and something to the effect of, you know, or really a question, but not along those lines. Should we schedule a call to go over it?
Okay.
So you could do that. Or, you know, maybe you guys identified a next. Did you know there was a next step, or when they would be making a decision? I always like to walk away with a, you know, kind of when they think they may know. So that way I know when to follow up.
I was kind of wondering if I should ask, but I didn't want to fill up the email too much. But
no, it's okay.
She kind of wanted to, you know, sort of get started, because I think she had, you know, a couple of deadlines were like end of March. So, I mean, it's somewhat pressing. I don't think it would be crazy to follow up and say, I know you have, you know, you want to fast track some of this, or you have deadlines coming up, or something along those lines, right? So, yeah.
All right. So here's one of my favorite ones. When I leave the conversation, great, I think I got everything. One last question. I'm going to send this to you by noon tomorrow. When should I follow back up with you?
Okay, on the phone. Good idea. Yeah.
Yeah. And what they're telling you is they're giving you permission. I rarely have someone say, no, you don't need to follow up with me. I'll let you know.
Okay.
You know, and if you sent it, this is your call, you sent the proposal here, and they said, go ahead and follow up here. What you're doing is you still follow up here, but hey, I sent it yesterday, want to make sure it went through. I'll check back with you in a couple of, you know, on Friday, if I haven't heard back, as you suggested.
Okay. So just make it quite standard to follow up the next day, just making sure the email went through, essentially, kind of thing. And then, yeah, okay, but then you have another follow-up date that they have already agreed to, so they won't be, like, surprised when you – okay, I like that.
Exactly. And this one, you have permission, so it doesn't feel – like, this one, notice what I did. It's like, hey, I just want to make sure it went through. That's all. I'm still going to follow up with you in a couple of days if I haven't heard back. So that one doesn't feel, like, desperate. And then this one also doesn't feel like desperate, because they're the ones who told you.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I feel pretty good about it. and our phone conversation went well, and she was really the one who was like, are you interested in writing white papers? I don't know if that's your thing. And then kind of walked through like some of the things she needed and was really excited that I was into it. And then, you know, she sent me some samples of white papers they've written before and said, you know, I'm looking forward to reviewing your proposal and stuff. So hopefully, you know, it seems positive. I'm not nervous about following up, but so this is great to have kind of a nice strategy for, I'll just send a follow up today and then maybe in a couple more days. I don't think that'll be crazy at all.
Yeah. And then just get into the habit of asking this. And by the way, I found that it took me a long time to get into that habit. That's why I use a cheat sheet to help me lead those conversations. And then that's at the end of it is just the next step. I always call it next step. I had a boss, sales manager, who just always drilled that into us, and he would get on my case so bad. It's like, okay, what's their commitment date? You know, yeah. for follow up or what? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. It's a sales thing. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, it is. You're getting their permission, and then it's just not awkward, and it's totally professional. So it's just a habit thing. But get into the habit. If you have to create a little cheat sheet for yourself, totally.
Yeah, I think to be honest, I do remember using it one time, and I think the guy kind of reacted weird, and it may have been because I was uncomfortable saying it, you know.
Uh huh.
That whole thing where like once it goes weird once, I'm like shy about it. But yeah, it is a good idea. I'll get back in the habit of asking it. And the more you say it, the more comfortable you get, and the more comfortable they are answering. So
yeah, say it with confidence. Absolutely. You know, sometimes it's the kind of thing you may have to practice saying it out loud in your office. Which is okay, because, you know, we all talk to ourselves anyway.
Yeah.
And then it won't feel as awkward. And I'll tell you, when it will never feel awkward? Not only with practice, but when you're book solid or close to it.
Because
you're like, you know what? I may not even have time to do this. if this comes through, I'm not really sure how I'm going to be able to do it. So then you talk about increased confidence. It's like, yeah, all right, well, listen, I just want to make sure I know when I should follow up with you.
Yeah.
And it's no big deal, you know? In fact, you're hoping they tell you no follow up. Because we're doing this or whatever.
Yeah. Okay.
Ruthie says she's so confident right now because her workload is heavy. Yeah. So, guys, what's the lesson there, right? The best time to do things that you're scared to do, and just be honest, you know what things you're hesitant to do because of fear, is when you are book solid and you feel like, wow, I am doing so well. That's the time. And most of us waste that opportunity. So make yourself like a little list or something so that when these things happen, you know that, you know what? I'm going to follow back up with Susie and with Bill and with Sabrina. I've been scared to death, and now I have less fear.
So. Yeah. Oh, it's so true. I mean, just overall in general, I was noticing, and I mean, some of this is just from time, you know, just time doing this and experience and everything, but I was like, that's so funny. I sent this proposal and I don't have a knot in my stomach. And like when I first started, I felt, you know, anxious a lot, you know, and it's like, I don't know, that's growth, I suppose. And yeah, I'm not booked solid, but I'm in a comfortable place right now. So I'm not desperate for work. So that definitely does help a lot too. You know, it's not like, oh man, if they don't get back to me, you know. Which is huge because they can sense that too, right? So
they can. They really can. Yeah.
Cool. Thank you, Ed.
Good. You're welcome. All right. So I think we most folks had to drop off. Ruthie's here. Leah's here. Hannah and Allison. Here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to close out just by asking you two quick questions. I'd love to know what your top takeaway was today. By just type in T in front of it in the comments in the chat area. And then I want to make sure that you leave with something actionable. And I'm sure you got a couple of things, but you know, if you had to highlight one thing that you're going to work on over the next couple of weeks, what would that be? Type in a capital A in the chat area and let me know. So T for takeaway and A for action item. Just by writing that down in and of itself, you increase the chances that you know, you will go ahead and do that thing. It could be, hey, just I want to brainstorm a list of different packages I could put together. I want to do this. I want, you know, whatever it might be. So for Hannah, top takeaway, start paying attention to how I can structure new projects integrating SPE. Yeah. Allison says, top takeaway, you can separate out the different parts of an activity in a more profitable, packageable way. Yeah. Yeah. Productizing your services, right? It's a flavor of productizing. And for Hannah, that's kind of an action item. Yeah, I agree. I think that's a good first step. I think to make it more tangible, instead of just saying start paying attention, how about carve out 30 minutes between now and Friday? In fact, if you can even say a day, so that way you schedule it, where all I'm going to do is I'm going to sit down away from my computer with a notebook and a pen, and I'm going to do a little bit of mind mapping. I mean, that's one idea, right? Ruthie says, top takeaway, I need to figure out what my favorite types of work are. Yeah. There you go. So that kind of lends itself to, if you want to take that and turn that into an action item, same thing. Schedule a brainstorming session with yourself. Allison, top action item. I have a client coming back to me in a week or two. I'm going to plan some ways, suggest some planning strategy pieces to add value to the work that is on the way. Write them down so I have them for the call. Wonderful. That's great, Allison. I love that. Thinking bigger and already putting it into action. Good stuff. And Ruthie says, top action item, I want to revisit my positioning worksheet and pair that with identifying some top ideal clients. Yeah. Good stuff. Yeah, when you're clear on that, it's easier to make decisions, isn't it? Not just from a prospecting standpoint, but as you're talking to them, you can start identifying if this is going to be a fit or not. And it's nothing better than to know as you're having that conversation. Okay. Hey, good stuff, guys. Great conversation. We went deep on a couple of very, very important topics. So that was fun. We'll have another call here in a couple of weeks. And, you know, I just want to invite you to continue these conversations in the Facebook group. We've got some great, great folks in there. We're up to 90 people in that group. And of course, not everyone is active there. We've got a really good core group of high income, experienced, seasoned, very smart people. That are just ready and willing to help. So, you know, if you ever have a question, need feedback, you know that, you know, you can always go there. I'll, of course, be there, but you got a great group of peers who can help you. And let's just face it, it's just easier to give advice when you're not emotionally involved in the issue. So many times you're going to get, you know, you just have blind spots, number one. Number two, you're too emotionally involved in your own situation. So having another set of eyes from another professional who's at your level, or in many cases above, that's great. That can really help you kind of snap out of where you are. So make sure to use that resources. The resources is there for you, and it's a great place to continue that conversation to build our community. So you guys have a great rest of the day and a wonderful, productive week, and we'll talk again real soon. Take care.